Welcome to the July edition of Palms and Paws, the podcast. I am your host, Dr. Kevin McKevley, as always, joined by my incredible co-host, Greta Rose. Greta Rose, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Happy 4th of July. This is a big one. This is 250 years, which is on one hand, it's a big deal, and on the other hand, it feels like we're so young.
We are a 250-year-old toddler in the grand scheme of things. So, we've got a lot of 4th of July content to cover. Greta Rose actually pioneered an incredible new segment that we're going to call Greta on the Street.
A great name. We worked really hard on this name. Greta on the
Greta
street.
Rose took to the streets of Santa Monica with nothing but her curiosity and a little microphone to interview people as they prepare their pets for the 4th of July.
Okay, so this is Greta and I'm here. What's your dog's name?
This is Coconut.
Coconut. Coconut, and Coconut actually sees Dr. Izzy, you said.
Yes, she does.
So we're just asking people how they handle the 4th of July with their dear sweet loved ones.
Well, little Coconut's special because she doesn't mind the fireworks. Since
that
a puppy.
Is incredible.
Yeah, so she actually likes to watch them because we used to live in San Francisco by the Giants Stadium, and every time they won, they would do the fireworks. And so she is not deterred by them.
You're not fazed at all. That's incredible.
I'm sorry that we don't have a better answer for you.
It's a great answer. It's wonderful. No, we don't need you to have like some traumatic,
Mama,
like, oh God,
she's actually great
on lockdown.
Yeah. Thunderstorms, fireworks, even earthquakes. She just barks because she's like, why is it trembling? She's very chill.
That's awesome.
Now, if you asked about the Amazon delivery guy, that might be a different story.
Hey, it's Greta Rose. And what is the name of your beautiful dog?
Bodie.
Bodie. What kind of dog is Bodie?
He's a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's a year old.
Oh, you're just a year old. Is this his or her?
Boy, yeah.
Boy. Is this his first or second, fourth?
It's his second, fourth, his first with us. We brought him home on July 7th specifically, so I wouldn't be worried about scaring him because of the fireworks being at our house.
Tell me the name of your dog.
This is Captain.
Captain. Yes. And what kind of dog is Captain?
I'm not 100% sure. He's like a husky, maybe Malamute mix. I got him from a shelter.
So yeah. That's so incredible. Thank you for adopting. And how old is Captain?
He's about... He'll be around 7 months in July.
So is this his first 4th of July?
This is his first 4th of July, yeah.
Oh my gosh, so he doesn't actually know what to expect?
He doesn't know what to expect yet.
Oh, does he only have one eye?
Only one eye, yeah. I got him that way.
Beautiful.
A tech said that he was probably just like puppy interaction.
Oh. Okay, so 4th of July.
Yes.
How, do you have any thoughts?
But he's pretty well crate trained, so
yeah.
He feels very safe in his little kennel. I don't
cool.
like leaving him.
All right.
He's great.
Well, Captain, happy 4th of July. We'll see how you do.
Yeah.
How do you handle the 4th of July with your cats?
They're pretty chill. They just kind of stay inside and they relax. Everything's okay.
Really?
Everything's okay. They can handle anything. They've been around the block.
Okay, everyone we've asked has had absolutely no problem with the 4th of July.
Fantastic.
I'm shocked.
Incredible.
Happy for all of us.
I'm happy for all of us too. Well, I hope also that you find some people with some troubles so you get some contact.
I don't want any for drama. Okay, so I'm here on Montana, and what are your names?
Andy.
And
JP.
And JP. And Andy's wearing this shirt that says dog people, so I had to stop you and ask you, how are you handling the 4th of July for your loved ones that are four-legged?
Yes. Well, we're definitely keeping all of our doors closed and making sure everyone is secure inside.
Nice.
Probably extra snuggles.
It's a lot of snacks. I think that's a really good way to keep them distracted, especially if you have dogs that are hypersensitive to loud noises or experience some anxiety or feel like they need to find cover. You know, you can switch their mood a little bit and give them something that brings some positivity, like a treat. Oh, or a favorite toy.
That's such a great idea.
Yeah.
So clearly you guys have some thought into this. You're thinking, you're anticipating.
Each year this rolls around. This same holiday every year.
Or lightning storms, right?
Yeah.
You got to know your pet. And I guess everybody has probably a different way of handling it. But we know that try and keep positive enforcement around and being available to them, and understanding, especially. Beautiful. That it's a specific time that it'll pass, you know.
And tell me about your pets at home.
We have two Brussels Griffons.
Mushu and Loki.
Yes. Mushu and Loki.
Yep. Yeah. One of them does not like fireworks, and one of them doesn't mind them.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, paying attention to their signals and just being aware. And because our dogs are small, again, making sure everything is closed, no one gets out by your feet when you open the door. That's always a big consideration.
That's beautiful. And did you say that Palms and Paws is actually your
pet? It is. We love Palms and Paws.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
We've been going there for years.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, Mushu and Loki know Dr. Kevin McKevely very well.
Okay, so there you have it. That is Greta on the Street. I'm going to do this segment as many times as possible. I had so much fun, Dr. Kevin.
Well, very cool. Well, as you know, this is a time of year that is characterized by a little bit more stress. We've got loud fireworks, and here in LA, if you're in my neighborhood or anywhere close, the 2 weeks before the 4th of July and the 2 weeks after, we're still hearing bottle rockets. We're hearing Roman candles. We're hearing all kinds of fireworks going off. And so I've got a couple words of wisdom and some recommendations that I have. Is that okay?
I would really love to hear them. And first, I want to ask you, how does Link handle 4th of July?
Listen, Link is, he came from the streets. And so nothing really rattles him in terms of loud noises. You know, for fireworks, for loud bangs, he gets curious. Oh. He'll run to the window to see what's going on. But if you were delivering a package to our front door, he's under the bed.
I have had four dogs, and I had one dog who could sit and watch the fireworks with me. And then I had another dog who, we had a soundproof room, and we would go in, close the windows, turn on a movie, just wait until the fireworks were over. So for those people, you know, I mean, I was expecting to hear more people with like saying, I hate this holiday. I just want it to be over. So I'm so excited to hear what you have to say. I will close my mouth and listen. Tell me.
Well, you kind of set it up perfectly. Every animal is different.
Yeah.
And so really focusing, paying attention and learning about your pet's anxiety, their triggers, what could trigger them. If this is your first 4th of July with a new pet or a rescue, and this is your opportunity to determine how or what works best for them, then create safe spaces. This is not where you want to go to the beach with your pet and watch fireworks. That is a potential recipe for trouble, because this is a time where we see a lot of dogs in particular running through the streets, potentially getting hit by cars, because if they really get startled and scared and they feel like they need to flee, you know, that's something that we want to avoid whenever possible. If you have a room that is quieter, or that you can play distractions in, you know, play some calming music, put on a movie, and they're going to respond to your level of stress to a degree. And so if you stay relaxed and you stay calm, it's likely that they're going to feel relaxed and calm around you. And cats in particular, you know, if they want to hide, give them a safe spot to do that. Whether it's a box with some blankets in it, a closet, under the bed, you know, those are really simple things that you can do. It's also never wrong to call your veterinarian and find out what they recommend in terms of things to help break anxiety. We call these medications anxietolytics. And in some cases, they're over-the-counter supplements. I feel like this is the time of year, though, where we're getting the most phone calls and requests for medications like gabapentin, trazodone, things that are really going to temper anxiety and help pets relax through the noise.
That's where I think it gets a little tricky, is like, if something has already triggered them, how do we bring them back to a state of calm?
Great question. And I'd say doing a trial run or trying to get ahead of it works best. You know, when we give a medication or a supplement to blunt anxiety 2 hours before the event that's going to be triggering, that's when we're going to be most successful. when animals are already anxious and really stressed, it's going to be tougher for us to control that anxiety if they're already in a really heightened state. You know, if you have an animal that has shown signs of anxiety, they're panting, they're crying out, they're pacing or running around your home when there are other loud noises, like a car backfiring, garbage trucks, you know, the motorcycle brigade going through your neighborhood. You know, if your animal's already showing the propensity for anxiety from those types of stimulus, that's where I would chat with your vet. See if they agree or think that it's a good idea to get ahead of it with either supplements or medications.
Okay, great. So anticipating, being ahead of it, don't wait until, it's already happened. So this is a really cool segue into a conversation with Dr. Lim because this is the freedom experience, and we're talking about freedom as a feeling, and one of the ways that we interpret that freedom is freedom from pain, but it's also freedom from anxiety and stress. And Dr. Lim, if you're looking for an alternative, more holistic approach to this rather than medication or in addition to medication, there's this idea of acupuncture for dogs, which Palms and Paws actually offers.
Yeah, Dr. Lim is absolutely incredible. And if going to undergrad and veterinary school was not enough, as it was the case for Dr. Lim, she actually has pursued advanced training and study to get certified in acupuncture as well as medical manipulation, which are two completely separate entities. And so we are so proud of her. I don't know if you've ever had acupuncture, Greta Rose.
I'm obsessed with acupuncture. I mean, it really is something that I absolutely love for myself. I'm just going to say that medical manipulation as a layperson sounds very strange. Can you explain what that is?
Medical manipulation is very similar to chiropractics, and range of motion exercises that are going to reduce or relieve pain in the body, help realign the body, and she talks a little bit about this as well, but realigning our energy. You know, there are meridians in the body that is more Eastern medicine, and so the way that she blends Eastern and Western medicine is beautiful.
Yeah, it was a special conversation. First of all, just to be able to have the stars align where I could grab both you and Dr. Lim in between surgeries at the same time in the same room and be able to ask a few questions about this holistic approach to freedom from pain. Here's what Dr. Lim had to say. What is the decision process to suggest acupuncture? What are you seeing in them where you go, oh, acupuncture would help here?
So a lot of times, like I said, because our society has started to accept it for pain, that is usually one of the first indications. In fact, I'm really glad a lot of my colleagues agree with that. And so many patients that they see with arthritis pains or neurological diseases like intervertebral disc diseases, stuff like that, they suggest you want to maybe meet Dr. Lim and see if acupuncture might be something that can help with this pain. And so I hang out with them and we talk about, okay, we notice a hip pain, or we notice we're weak in our hind legs, or obviously back pain with this disease. Even in some cases, we're paralyzed and unable to walk on the hind legs. And I said, let's give it a shot, let's try it. And yeah, that's usually how they end up at my table. And that's what we start with our little journey together. A lot of times they will notice they feel looser, not as restricted, be able to do that jump they usually can't do, walk up and down that stairs a little bit better. Those little signs are things we see in our pet and we notice they feel better, they feel comfortable, they feel freer.
So are you just sort of like sending these messages to them, like just trust me, you're gonna actually love this. When do you see them settle in and go, oh, I see what you're doing. Thank you. This actually feels better.
That's why I think it really depends. I will not say every single animal loves what I do to them, but in general, usually after I place the needles for about 5 minutes or so, you see them usually relaxing mm-hmm. and sitting down, taking a sigh, going down instead of standing and pacing, things like that.
And I would imagine that's mirrored in the owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely do agree. If an owner comes in extremely anxious, then I see a pet that's anxious. We hang out with a little baby food jar. It's my little secret code. I freeze baby food in a jar. It's like a little ice popsicle stick for them. They love it. Then they just hang out, eat the popsicle, and get the needles and hang out.
I'm thinking that we have a new recipe.
Dr. Lim's popsicles.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about medical manipulation. It's such a rare accreditation that you have. So tell us what that looks like.
Humans call it chiropractic. So as veterinaries can say we are doing chiropractic practice, it's similar to that. And the reason why I kind of went into it was because ironically, when I said, hey, I'm doing acupuncture, I have neck pains, let me go get acupuncture done and see if it helps. I did it for a while and I was like, it helps a little bit, but you know, my everyday day-to-day life, I still get flare-ups that come up and doesn't seem to manage it that well. So it was actually my acupuncturist then that said, do you want to go try this chiropractic doctor? We recommend him. Sure, let's give it a shot. And he basically adjusted me, talked to me about my posture. Now I go to him every month and manage my neck pain. When I have flare-ups, I go in for a little checkup. And overall, I do feel like I have less neck pains than I did when I was younger in my previous years. Mm-hmm. So I think that led to me thinking, why don't we do this with animals? I definitely say I practice integrative medicine. So with that, I do our classic Western medicine that we see in all our vets that practice good medicine, what we learn in vet school. But Chinese medicine has been done for years and years. And I like to bring that into the field and put it together with our knowledge of Western medicine, because there are definitely certain things in life that I feel like Western medicine doesn't cover completely. Now, I'm not saying Western medicine is wrong, because there's a lot of things we definitely should do. There's a reason we have medical schools out there. But there are some things out there you're like, you just can't quite solve completely, mm-hmm. or you can't manage completely. And there is a reason, there are housewife tales, there are the treatments. Your mom always makes you this one soup or tea. And trust me, I think this also comes into me growing up in Singapore. I have Asian moms and grandma. I drank a lot of bitter tonic medicines when I was growing up. I hated it. But you know what? That's what made my flu go away. I don't take Dayquil, I don't take NyQuil, because that didn't make things go away. Just put a band-aid on things. So I think it's really nice to do both medicine at the same time, and just gives us more options to manage diseases in many ways, and pain as well.
So before we close, I'm curious what advice you have for pet parents out there that want to explore further. They may be listening in a town where they don't have someone that's certified in medical manipulation. You are the only one in Los Angeles, correct?
I mean, that I could find when I tried to Google around. Maybe they're not publicizing themselves well, but I couldn't quite find them, unfortunately.
So it's a rare accreditation that you hold now. Mm-hmm. So what advice do you have for people that are interested in learning more about this? Mm-hmm. What do you recommend?
Okay, there are other ways to do acupuncture instead of with a needle. You can do acupressure, basically applying pressure at these acupoints. So one of these points is a calming point. It's called the GV20, and it's on the top of their head. I'm trying to do this anatomical thing over voice now, but
so for those of you at home, Dr. Lim just patted the top of her head. Okay, that's so the GV20 site.
Exactly. So just think on the top of your little pup's head, kind of go at the section right in midline, in between both of the middle of the ears, and there's gonna be a little spot up there. Kind of right before that little crest at the end, that little edge that you fall off the back of the skull area, and that's a GV20. Just rub that little area, place a little gentle pressure on that, and then I like to combine that with massaging around the eyes and the face. That actually goes into multiple acupoints, but it helps with calming. Actually, that goes into a little bit of Tui Na, which is another Chinese medicine modality there. But these are very nice calming sites for your pet to calm them down. And I do that every day. When I have a new pet coming in and I'm talking to you guys, getting a history, you'll see me, they look nervous. I'll do little pets down their back, pets down their face if they let me, and then I massage around their eyes and their face. And then when they put their head and the full weight on my hand, that's when I know I got them and they like me and they love the massage. And we build a little trust that way before I go in and do a little bit more thorough physical exams with my pets.
Amazing. 4th of July and fireworks are a pretty common time where pets are a little bit more anxious. So that's a great tip that people can try at home to bring a little peace amongst the chaos.
I think that's a great idea.
She's really incredible.
Absolutely amazing. And for the right animal, dog or cat, for the right patient, it can make a world of difference, you know? And now this is not for the super anxious border collie doing cartwheels in the room. You know, this is, has to be for the right pet parent as well. Mm-hmm. As you've heard me say before, Greta Rose, dogs and cats are not susceptible to the placebo effect. So when people tell us that their animals are moving better, that they've got better energy, they're jumping back onto the bed or onto the couch, and they haven't done that in weeks or months, that tells us that they're actually feeling better. And it's so rewarding getting to see massive improvements in response to these therapies. So appreciative and grateful that we get to work with Dr. Lim. And I am curious what certification she's going to pursue next.
The takeaway from me from this episode is listening and learning what your particular individual cat or dog needs, and just being ready to give them what they need, and anticipating, trying to be ahead of the game with them, so that in a moment of anxiety, stress, loud noise, that they will have a safe place and a way to relieve some of that and to feel freedom.
I couldn't agree more. You know, the idea of liberating animals from anxiety, from pain, as we celebrate liberty, pretty cool time of year. And things are just getting better and better for our pets. Mm-hmm. We're seeing more blends between Eastern and Western medicine. And ultimately, that's just making it easier to take better care of all of our patients. So it's a win for everybody. And we wish you, from the tops to the bottoms of our hearts, a very happy 4th of July, an incredible month of July. And we will see you in August for the August edition of Palms and Paws, the podcast. We love you guys.
Love you. Freedom.